Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. We're continuing our series on wisdom and worship. Remember, wisdom means practical knowledge. It means right knowledge plus right skill to look for the glory of God. And we're learning from the book of Proverbs because Proverbs is all about giving us wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insights and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and equity, and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose ways are crooked, who are devious in their ways. So you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Let's pray. Father, first we pray for the Mount Hermon Conference. We're so thankful, Lord, for especially for the people from Lighthouse who get to go and be blessed by the teaching, by the friendships, by all the activities, the small groups, the learning. Lord, we pray especially for our small group leaders and our brothers and sisters who have given up so much to serve, who are maybe even leaving tonight to go and to prepare, to pray, to plan. Lord, I pray especially for the preachers who will be giving your words to so many who don't get good preaching at their home churches. We thank you, Lord, for the great ministry opportunity that Mount Hermon is, and we pray that you'd bless those who have worked so hard and so diligently. Father, we pray that you give us wisdom. Wisdom through this word, wisdom through this sermon, that you would speak to us, Lord. We've freely confessed that in so many ways we're foolish. We don't know, Lord, what to do. But we also know, Lord, that you are a God who loves to give wisdom to those who ask. So I pray that you would humble us, that you'd build us up, that we would live for your glory and fame. I pray for every soul here, Lord. It's in Christ's name. Amen. When I was in middle school, I had a friend who kept dating really bad guys. They would take advantage of her, they would lie to her, they'd cheat on her, they hurt her. I had another friend who was a flirt. So always, you know, some new week means some new fling, some new drama. Her life was honest and chaos. I had another friend who was self-destructive, another friend who was perpetually depressed. Some of my friends got into drugs, and worse. I had no idea how to help them. What would you do? Of course, I had my own problems to deal with, too. I was always fighting with my parents, especially my mom, and my little brothers. I had two friends who hated each other's guts. My friends kept telling me that this one girl liked me, and another girl slapped me in the face during lunch. True story. Like, what was I supposed to do? What was I supposed to do in all these situations? Where I was supposed to go for counsel, for advice, for answers, right? How could I make decisions that were good, that were right, that were pleasing to God? In all these situations, I needed wisdom. I needed wisdom. You too need wisdom. I need wisdom still today in my life, right? We're all put in situations we've never been in before where we're just not really sure what to do. If you want to be happy, if we want to be successful, we need wisdom. And I define wisdom again as right knowledge plus right skill to live for the glory of God. There's so many things we don't know how to handle properly. Our anger, our friends, our desires, our less than perfect parents, our hypocritical teachers, our bothersome siblings, our questions about Christ, about the Bible, about life, about everything. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. But where are you going to get that wisdom? Where are you going to go to find understanding and knowledge? Listen to James chapter 1, this promise that James gives. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, that's me, that's you, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Do you lack wisdom? I do, all the time. If you lack wisdom, you must get wisdom, and you must go to the source of wisdom. That's God. God possessed wisdom before the creation of the world. That's Proverbs chapter 8. God is the God of all wisdom, the only wise God, as Romans 16 says. God is wiser than your teachers. He's wiser than your parents. He's wiser than Solomon. To get wisdom, you must ask. You must seek, and you'll find. So my great encouragement to you today is seek wisdom from God. Seek wisdom from God. Proverbs 2 promises three fruits of seeking wisdom from God. If you seek wisdom, you will be wise, you'll be protected, and you'll be blessed. If you seek wisdom, you'll be wise, you'll be protected, and you'll be blessed. Look with me at verses 1 to 4. If you seek wisdom, Solomon says, my son, if you receive my words, treasure up my commands with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Look at all the verbs that Solomon uses to describe seeking after wisdom, right? Look at verse 1. He says, if you receive, if you treasure up, look at verse 2. He says, if you make your ear attentive, that means if you pay attention. That means if you incline your heart, that means if you reach out for, you yearn for. Verse 3, if you call out for insight, if you raise your voice, that means you're shouting for wisdom. Look at verse 4. If you seek it like silver, if you search for it like hidden treasures. These are all active verbs, right? They require energy. You got to do something. Except maybe receiving, but even then you still have to do something. You still have to take it, right? If I told you I had hidden $1,000 in this room, all around, and if you found it, you could keep it, this room would go crazy, right? Like Andrew would be in the cabinets, Seth would be in the trash can, maybe Piper would be like, you know, looking underneath all the chairs, and Mason would for sure just be like, where's the money? Give me the money! Right? If you wanted the money, you wouldn't just sit there in your chair being like, oh, I please hope some money falls into my lap, please, right? You wouldn't do that. You'd do something. You'd search for it. You'd seek for it with all your might. Verses 1 to 4 basically says, do everything you can to get wisdom. Search for it like the most precious treasure, way more than $1,000. Cry for it like a hungry baby cries for food. That's how much you should want wisdom. If you're a swimmer, you work really hard at your stroke just to shave a few seconds off your time. If you're a musician, you practice for hours just to master that one line of the song or that one measure or transition. If you're a gamer, you'll spend your whole weekend looking for a new item to level up your new character to build your little Minecraft world, right? We labor so hard for temporary treasures. How much more then should we, with zeal, with devotion, with energy, search for wisdom? And I'll be honest with you, seeking wisdom's hard work. If you want it, you gotta want it bad. You have to search for it long and hard. But the good news is that God promises it's worth it. If you seek for wisdom, if you treasure wisdom, if you pay attention to wisdom, if you stretch out for wisdom, if you call out for wisdom, if you shout for wisdom, if you seek wisdom like silver, like hidden treasure, then look at verse 5, look at the promise. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In other words, then you'll be wise. Then you'll be wise. So it's an exhortation to seek wisdom and a promise. You will find it. You'll find it. It takes work to find because it's rare. It takes work to find because it's precious. But if you seek wisdom, you will find. You have to knock on the door of heaven over and over again in prayer, in scripture, and asking wise people good questions, and you'll find the answers you're looking for. God promises it. If anyone asks for wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously. So I said it before, I'll say it again. Get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. It's for your life, it's for your happiness, it's for your peace, it's for your blessing. You need wisdom. Now I hear you. Okay. I get it, Keith. Wisdom's important. I want it now, all right? I want it. I gotta search for it real hard, but where is wisdom found? Like, where's the place of understanding? Can I buy it on Amazon and get it, you know, shipped to me in 2 days? Or like, do I go to the mall to find wisdom? Can I find it on sale at the grocery store? Or maybe in the clearance aisle at Walmart? Like, can I grow it in the garden? Or can I mine it from the earth? Is wisdom like, you know, the shells on the seashore? Or like the pine cones in the forest? You just pick it up wherever you're going, right? Or is wisdom found at the bottom of the sea, in the farthest corners of space? Where can wisdom be found? Not in the physical world, not like under the rock or something, but from God. As I said before, God is a source of wisdom. We have to go to Him to find it. So that leads us to the first promise of Proverbs chapter 2. If you seek wisdom, then God will make you wise. If you seek wisdom, then God will make you wise. Look at chapter 2, verse 5 with me. So if you seek for wisdom, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of His saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart. Wisdom belongs to God, and therefore He's the one that makes us wise. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, right? Theme verse of the book of Proverbs. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So if you want wisdom, you have to start with God. Notice in verse 6, it says that the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Verse 7 says that He stores up knowledge, that He's a shield. Verse 8 says that He guards the path of righteousness, that He watches over His saints. Or as James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, which again is me and you, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So God is a source of wisdom. And the amazing thing is that God loves to give wisdom to everyone who seeks after it. He's not a stingy God. He's not afraid He's going to run out of wisdom as if, you know, He had only a finite amount. He's not like fourth grade Keith, who's too stingy to share his beef jerky, right? God is a lavish, generous God who loves to give wisdom. All you need to do is ask. All you need to do is ask. Wisdom cannot be found apart from God. You can't buy it. You can't trade for it. You don't get it automatically by just by going to school. You don't even get it simply by getting older. There are plenty of people who are fools, who are rich, well-educated, and old. And yet they're not wise because they don't know God and they don't ask God for wisdom. They don't think they need it. So where is wisdom found? Wisdom is found from God. But let's get more specific. Let's look at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. From His mouth. Did you get that? What comes out of God's mouth? Words. It's like you and me, right? Words come out of our mouths words come out of God's mouth just like words come out of our mouths. Where's the word of God? Here. It's in the scriptures. It's in His book. His word is recorded for us in a book. It's written. You don't have to pay tens of thousands of dollars for wisdom. You can pay, I don't know, $10 for a Bible. You can go online for free and read the Bible and get God's wisdom. That's part of the reason why we had 3 sermons on treasuring scripture. It was a prelude to these sermons on wisdom. You must treasure and love scripture because knowing the Bible will make you wise. If you want to be wise, you have to know this book. There's no substitute for it. You have to know this book. You have to love this book. You have to read this book. You have to study this book. You have to treasure this book. You have to feed upon this book as if it's food for your soul. So do you read the Word of God at all? Do you study it? Do you meditate upon it? Is it like food to you? You eat it constantly because you want to grow. Listening to sermons on Sundays and Fridays, that's good. But it's not enough. Youth Bible camp, that's good. It's not enough. Studying with your parents, that's great. It's not enough. Even talking about the Bible together, it's good. But it's not enough. You have to read for yourself. We have the great privilege, right? William Tyndale gave his life to translate the Bible in English for us. We have the great privilege of having our own Bibles and being able to read it well. So I challenge you to make a practical goal for this summer to read the Bible every day. That's my challenge to you, okay? You can read for 5 minutes a day. You can read for an hour a day. I don't care. But read the Bible every day. That's my challenge. If you need a place to start, you can start in the book of Mark. If you finish that book of Mark, ask your small group leader, what do I read next? Okay? Or you ask me, what do I read next? If you want to be wise, you must read Scripture. You must love Scripture because this contains God's very words. God promises that if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you. So seek wisdom like treasure, like the most precious of jewels, like it's more valuable than silver and than gold. And if you seek it in the Word, you'll hear God's voice because in this book, he speaks. Now we move on to the second promise from Proverbs chapter 2. If you seek wisdom, wisdom will protect you. Look at verse 9. If you seek wisdom, wisdom will protect you. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will wash over you. Understanding will guard you. Understanding, wisdom, knowledge, discretion, these are not just theoretical things that we talk about because we like philosophy. These are armor for war. Discretion is like a shield. Understanding is like a breastplate. Knowledge is like a helmet, and shrewdness is like gloves for your hands. Wisdom will watch over you as a guardian and protector. And you need it. You need protection in this sin-cursed earth. I need protection in this sin-cursed earth. Storms of life will come, right? And wisdom gives you shelter during the storms. When your mom gets cancer, when your dad loses his job, when your friends leave the church, when your team loses a game, when you don't get into your dream school, when your so-called friends tempt you to sin, when everything you wanted in life is taken away from you, what are you going to do? Wisdom is a fortress. It's a shelter for you to hide in. It doesn't necessarily mean the storms won't come. They will come. But wisdom will get you through intact and happy and safe. Well, wisdom is a fortress for all kinds of storms. Proverbs 2 talks about two specific storms that you need to know about. The first is evil man, and the second is evil woman. So first, from evil man, look at verses 11 to 15. Wisdom, discretion, verse 11, will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men, a perverted speech, who forsake the ways of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Some men are just evil, and they love it. They speak evil because that's what's in their heart. They find joy not in wisdom, but in hurting other people. They delight not in doing good, but in rebellion. They do wrong, and they know what's wrong, and they like it. These are people who are always breaking the rules, that fight authority for no reason. They're clever in their sin, and they're cunning in their words. Remember chapter 1 of Proverbs? Solomon says, don't hang out with the murderers, right? Those people are definitely in the category of people who love sin. But maybe does it apply to some of your classmates and your teammates? Maybe. Does it apply at least to one person that you know in your life? Definitely. Definitely. If that evil man makes you his next victim, if he wants to make you his next victim, if he targets you, how are you going to escape his net? What are you going to do to run? What will save you? Wisdom. Wisdom will guard you. You can see the danger coming. You can know this man is not good, and you will run. In high school, one of my friends was on the volleyball team for school, and the team was planning to go on a tournament out of town. So, you know, they pulled a lot of money together, money for registration, for hotels, for buses, etc. The problem was they gave this money directly to the coach, and the coach took the money and left town. This is like tens of thousands of dollars. He had no accountability. And they lost it all. They didn't find him. If the school had done a background check, they would have known that this guy had done this to the previous school that he was working at. And I think they've been in a previous school before that, too. If the parents had insisted that, no, you don't get to keep the money or hold the money, a parent will keep the money for a short time or a third party will keep the money for a short time, they wouldn't have been robbed. But they didn't. And these kids lost out on, obviously, the volleyball tournament and all this money. Some men are just like that. They're evil. If you get wisdom, though, verse 11 says, discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. I want that shield. I want that guarding, that protection in my life. I'm not strong enough to fight off every evil person that comes my way. I need God's wisdom to keep me safe. You do too. But there are, of course, not only evil men in the world, but evil women. Wisdom will also protect you from the evil woman, verses 16 and 19. Verse 16 says, "So, if you're wise, if you get wisdom, you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and their paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life." To a man, the most dangerous person in the world is a woman who's seductive and adulterous. This is a woman who flirts with smooth words, who strokes your ego, who manipulates you, who entices you, who ensnares you. She might look like sweet candy, but she's sour inside. Such a woman does not use her beauty or charm for the glory of God, but for her own selfish ends. So young men, listen to me. Don't let your heart go out to her. Do not entertain her words. Keep your eyes, your heart, your feet far from her. Stay away from her paths. If you don't believe me, go read Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 7. Okay, Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 7. Young men, you need to watch out and stay away from these kind of girls. The most important thing about a woman is her character, not how she looks. Proverbs 31 says that charm's deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So don't just look for a pretty face. Look for a woman who fears God, who's wise, who loves Christ, and who loves his church. She's the truly beautiful one. But of course, it's not just seductive women that are the problem. Men are also charmingly manipulative. So young woman, listen to me. Watch out. You don't just want a guy who makes you feel good, but one who actually is good. Whose number one priority is not you, but who's the God of the universe. Evil men will pay attention to you just because you're their next challenge, their next trophy. They're not looking to care for you, they're looking to use you. If a man walks in haughtiness and pride instead of humility, that's not attractive. God says that's disgusting. It doesn't matter how cute he is, character is what matters. You don't just want someone who likes you or someone who's nice or someone who gives you a good time, but someone who will love you like Jesus does, not just for a little bit, but all the way until your death. Now, this is not the place to do a dating or marriage series. You'll hear more about that in high school, Lord willing. But in everything, especially in these regards, you need to seek wisdom. Wisdom will protect you from the evil man and from the evil woman. So the first promise of Proverbs 2, if you seek wisdom, God will make you wise. The second promise of Proverbs 2, if you seek wisdom, wisdom will protect you from evil people. And the third promise of Proverbs 2, if you seek wisdom, wisdom will bless you. Look at verse 20. Wisdom will bless you. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So you notice the language of being in the land, dwelling in the land, or being cut out of the land or kicked out of the land, right? This is all representative of what's called the covenant blessings and the covenant curses. I don't have time to go into all of it. If you're curious, you can read Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 29. Okay, so you can do that if you want to. Those are the covenant blessings and covenant curses. Basically, the point is this. If you're wise, you'll be blessed because God has promised to bless those who love him and follow him. If you're foolish, God will curse you and kill you and kick you out off the land because you have violated the promise you've made to him. Okay? You're wise, you're blessed. You're foolish, you're cursed. There's a great blessing to wisdom. I read this last week, but I'll read it again. Flip over just one chapter, or don't even flip. Look over just one chapter to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Look at how much blessing wisdom brings. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the man and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. I'll say that again. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Meaning you have to choose between being rich and being wise. Choose wisdom every single time. Verse 16. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. If you want a blessed life, you want a happy life, you want a full life, you want a joyous life, you want a secure life, you need to seek wisdom. Seek wisdom is more precious than silver or gold, than anything you could desire. Seek wisdom. But also be warned. If you refuse wisdom and you insist on being a fool, you will reap the consequences. Remember what Jesus said about the parable at the end of the Sermon on the Mount? He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it." I want you to be wise. I really want you to be wise. I want you to be wise because when I was your age, I was not. And I have the scars to prove it. I want you to be wise because I want you to be shielded from the storms of life. And I want you to be blessed in all your ways. Storms will come. I want you to stand stable on Jesus Christ. I want you to be wise because when I see you again in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, I want to be able to praise God that you have not wasted your life in foolishness like so many of my friends have. But as much as I want all those things, I want you to be wise most of all because wisdom leads you to Jesus Christ. Wisdom leads you to Jesus Christ. No one here will always be wise for the rest of their life. We'll all stumble and fail in many ways. We need someone else who will be our perfect wisdom, who will never fall, who will never falter, who's strong, way stronger than we could ever be. We need the one who is wiser than Solomon, who's the wisest, who will be the wisest one who ever walked the face of the earth. Jesus Christ is called in 1 Corinthians the wisdom of God. He's also called the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So you want wisdom? Seek Jesus. If you want wisdom, seek Jesus. He's divine wisdom come down to earth in human form. He is the one who understands all things, whose knowledge is infinite. He's the one who has the right knowledge of God, combined with the right skill to live for the glory of God, and who never failed once, because he never sinned. If you desire to be wise, you must know Christ and love him. His gospel is simple. It has four basic parts. All my seventh graders should know this now, right? God, man, Christ, faith. God is the creator king who is worthy of receiving all glory and praise. But man, we're sinners. We've blown it. We've messed it up. We've broken his law, rejected his sovereign rule. Our only hope for forgiveness is Jesus Christ's cross. It's not hoping being good enough or hoping doing enough good, but only Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. He died the death we should have died, and he rose again from the dead to live so that we can live in him. If you repent of your sins, that means you turn away from your sinful life, and you believe in Jesus Christ instead as your only Savior and King, you'll be saved. You'll be saved from the hell that you deserve. You'll be saved from the wrath of God to come. You'll be saved from the punishment that all fools deserve, because Christ becomes our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our holiness. That's what Jesus is for the believer. That's what wisdom's ultimately about. It's not just you living better or you having a happier temporal life, but you seeing all the way to the end of wisdom, who is Jesus Christ. True people, truly wise people, live and love Christ. Truly wise people live for and love Christ. May God help you and me to be truly wise by coming to him. Let's pray. Father, we want to see Jesus. We don't just want tips to live a better, more secure, more comfortable life here, but we want to see Christ and him honored in our lives because we seek him as the one who is truly the wisdom of God. Father, I pray that you would give us a hunger for him, a thirst for him that is not satisfied until it sees him in all his beauty and his glory in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to read the scriptures every day, not just to check off some religious item on our to-do list, but to learn of you because we want to know the God of wisdom and the God of truth. Lord, I pray for these youth. I pray for all the situations that they will encounter, not just this summer, but these next few years to come, high school, college, beyond. And I pray, Lord, you grant them a wisdom from above that will keep them, that will protect them, that will bless them, that they can live lives to honor you forever. It's in Christ's name we pray.